If you're one of the millions of Americans headed out on a date this weekend, today's Please Explain is for you. We're going to talk about the etiquette of dating, everything from when and how to ask for a date to how to decline in the nicest and kindest way, to break up in the nicest and gentlest possible way. And joining us are Diane Gotsman, a nationally recognized etiquette expert and the owner of the Protocol School of Texas, a company that specializes in executive and social etiquette training. Welcome back to our show, Diane.
Thank you, Leonard. It's great to be here.
And in our studio, Thomas P. Farley, a manners and lifestyle expert and author of What Manners Most. Welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Leonard. Great to be here.
Now, does either of you know where the term dating comes from? I'm assuming that it arises from setting a date to meet.
I think that's exactly where it comes from. There is not any hard and fast definition, but it's waiting for the date, looking on your calendar for that date.
But we set dates for all sorts of social obligations. And we don't say, you know, we're dating my parents next week.
It's actually, you know, the word itself has Latin roots. It comes from the infinitive dare, which means to give. So it took on the contemporary understanding that we have of dating in the 1920s. But it's a very Americanism. It's not something that you hear very much abroad.
Where did the custom of dating as we know it in our culture come from? And when did courting leave off and modern dating begin?
I think that prior to the 1900s, you know, women were wooed. They were courted by the man and her entire family. And, you know, as time progressed and we progress as a society, you know, men started taking the woman outside of the home because there were more places to go. You know, there were pubs and there were dance halls. But, you know, it started the Victorian era is where the actual romantic love was first required. Before that, you know, in medieval times, they would just go to a different village and steal a woman. So it's evolved.
Well, in many cultures, marriages are arranged, and the idea of just dating anyone would be inconceivable. So is this just a European thing or something that grows out of the cultures that have most influenced America?
Well, I think certainly if you go to early colonial America, the same strictures that would have applied in Europe would have applied here. It really was, as Diane says, it was not until the dawn of the 20th century after the Victorian era where dating kind of took on the idea of romance, where the automobile becomes such a big part of culture, where the idea of being able to escape and go out to a place. In fact, even the idea of going out, the term going out, refers to going out on the town. And that's a very automobile era concept.
Our audience is made up of people of all orientations, ages, and stages in life. So we want to cover as many different aspects of dating etiquette as we can. But there are, I'm assuming, overarching rules of behavior that could be said to govern dating, whether you're 15 or 90 years old, gay or straight, always unmarried, divorced or widowed, a single parent. I may have left a couple of things out. But is that true?
I think this is something we're seeing certainly now in large measure with the internet, which has just completely transformed the way people ask one another out, break up, for better or for worse. Internet dating and sites such as Facebook, which of course has its origins, if you've seen The Social Network, in the idea of bringing together people and a way of, you know, finding out who's available and who's not.
What percentage of the people interested in dating are using the internet dating services to meet? Do we know?
I don't have the statistics. I don't know if Diane might.
I don't know how those statistics pan out. And, you know, I think that more and more we're relying on that because our schedules are so very busy. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, are there specific rules that apply to them before people ever meet face-to-face? I mean, other than the fact that if you're going to lie about your age, you shouldn't lie too much. If you're going to supply a picture, you should at least make it fairly recent.
I think certainly when it comes to dating, and this is something that would be pan-generational, is that you want to be considerate to the person you are with and you are seeking as a prospective date. That's really, I think if you follow that kind of golden rule, regardless of whether you're 15 or 95, you really are going to be doing the right thing. The modus that you use to actually gain that date, that's certainly changed, and that's something that is going to be very generational and very cultural, too.
Well, you mentioned Facebook texting and the like, and as you point out, people under 30 or under 20 have an entirely different set of rules when it comes to that. And I hope later when we take calls that you hear from some listeners who are under or around 20. In the meantime, what do both of you notice about the dating habits of younger people? Are they very different from people of the older generations?
I think that they are much more relaxed. You know, they rely on texting and they rely on Facebook and Skype. So they are using that as one of their major means of communication. So I don't think they think anything of texting. Instead of asking face-to-face for a date with someone, they can text and say, would you like to go out on Friday? And I certainly don't think they're doing it to be disrespectful. It's just their means of conversation.
Are the rules different in different parts of the world, different parts of the country anyway? Would they be different in New York than they are in Texas, other than bringing a gun to a date in New York is generally frowned upon?
And Texas, too, hopefully.
I bet. Yes, they are. Well, I think, you know, the bottom line, Thomas is correct. It's a date is based on, you know, mutual interest, and hopefully they're going to grow into a relationship. That's what they're looking for. And I think it is always important to like that person. And you can't know if you like them without asking them out on a date. So there's particular rules, you know, these guidelines. And you don't want to play games with someone. You don't want to say, if someone asks you out, you don't want to say, well, oh, gosh, I've got to wash my hair. I'm busy. And then they see you out. I think it's about being honest and upfront.
People do that because they don't want to give up too much control. Playing hard to get, not calling back, saying you're busy so as to seem like you're not too available. Those are all things that make people allow people to feel that they're not seeming too eager.
That's right. And you also, you know, nobody wants to play the villain. You know, it's very hard to tell somebody the truth. No, I really don't want to go out with you because I'm not interested in you. So I think there are two things at play. One is the, you know, I'm not such an easy catch. Let's not pretend that I am. But the flip side is you don't want to be letting people down too hard. So I think a lot of times people substitute these kind of flimsy excuses as a means of saving the other person's feelings.
Diane, in heterosexual dating, men are usually expected to make the first move to ask the woman out. For many men, that's the most difficult part of the process. What's the best way to do that?
Oh, that's right. You know, men can be shy, just like women can be shy, as they can be assertive as well. So I think that, you know, historically, women have always been the ones to sit back, and it wasn't only until recently that women became more assertive. So if a man or a woman wants to ask someone out on a date, just be forthright and say, you know, I'd love to take you out to dinner, or I would love for you to join me for dinner on Friday. Are you available? But there's a difference between saying, hey, let's get together for a bite versus would you like to go out? You know, you're sending a mixed message, and so you want to be clear as to what you're asking.
And if you just say, let's go out for a bite because you just want to feel the other person out?
That just might seem as if you want to take them out as a friend. You know, there's a difference between dating and socializing. And when you're – certainly it overlaps. But in a social setting, you know, you can go to a ball game and sit next to a stranger, or you can have lunch with a friend. But when you are asking someone out on a date, it's normally an indicator that you want to get to know them better.
And people send off all kinds of signals when they do go on that first date. How they dress, for example. If you dress – too well, you might feel that you're making this seem like it's too important. If you dress too casually, you make it seem like it doesn't really matter much to you.
That's true. And I think traditionally this is something that women, if we're speaking in broad strokes, tend to think about probably a lot much more than the man does. The man, you know, puts his outfit together without thinking very much about it, whereas very, very often the woman, you know, might have gone through five or six outfit changes before she's actually decided what to wear for the night.
Diane, you work with executives in your practice. Should one ever date a colleague, someone from the same office, someone who works for you?
Well, those are several different questions in that one question. You know, we just spend so much time at work that it's easy to develop a relationship with someone that we respect. So, and especially if we're equal, you know, in ranking. But it's always risky, you know, so we have to check the corporate policy. You know, if they frown on it, or if they say that you can't do it, then you're already at risk with your livelihood. So, but there's definitely some do's and don'ts, Leonard. You know, you, number one, check that office policy. But also, you need to think about the end right at the beginning, because you have to think, if I get involved with someone, what's going to happen if and when we break up, if it's nasty, if there's gossip, you know, you have to decide how much of a risk you're willing to take.
And then we read in the newspapers about people who go out with people they do business with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's all, pardon the term, it's all a crapshoot. You don't know until you do. And now, here's one, this is one thing that I discourage, is a subordinate dating their boss or vice versa. The boss asking out an employee because you're asking for trouble. You know, so I'm not saying it could never, ever work, but the chances that it will work and it will be comfortable, it's questionable.
Because there's a power inequity there?
Yes, and people are going to frown on it and say that you are receiving special treatment. And then if you break up with, let's say, if the boss breaks up with the girlfriend or the boyfriend, you know, whoever is in power, they can file a harassment suit. If they may or may not formulate something that may or may not be true. You know, it's sticky business.
My guests are Diane Gutzman, an etiquette expert and owner of the Protocol School of Texas, and Thomas P. Farley, a manners and lifestyle expert, author of a book called What Manners Most. So, Thomas, what are the most common mistakes people make?
Well, I think certainly getting back to the digital arena for a second, because that is just so much a part of what dating is about today. I think particularly if we're speaking about the younger generation, it is relying on the technology as a substitute for genuine face-to-face conversation. I mean, I remember, you know, the butterflies in my stomach I felt asking a girl to a prom in high school and how difficult that was to, you know, to pick up the phone and, you know, and staring at the dial and, you know, that's all gone. That's all gone. And I think in the same way that the news cycle has been so compressed, the 24-hour news cycle that we all live in, whereas an event that happened 6 hours ago might seem like it happened an eternity ago, the same things happen with dating. So the idea of courtship, as it was known in the Victorian era, is completely out the window.
Well, there's you go on this first date, and then you decide you want to have a second date. Do the rules change? Second, third date etiquette?
Again, I think it all comes back to kindness and consideration.
Well, what about who pays?
Well, there's, you know, that's something that can be very regional. Certainly here in New York, you do see women in particular who feel very, you know, no compunction whatsoever about asking a man to, you know, to go somewhere for dinner or to grab drinks. And I think what I like to advise is that if the woman has been the asker, she should at least offer to treat for the drinks. And then the man should still certainly at least go halfway.
Diane, you wanted to add to that.
That's right. The protocol is you invite, you pay, and you tip. You know, that's going by the letter of the law. But Thomas is absolutely right. You know, there are women now, we make the same amount of money as men. And some women would take offense. Others would not. So you really have to feel the situation, you know. And certainly, if you invite someone out, as a woman, if you invite a man out and he offers to pay, you can either say thank you so much, or you could say, look, this is my treat. You can do it next time. So I do think in that regard the rules have changed or have relaxed a bit. But you know, I was talking to a few people just last night that are out in the dating world, and the men have this. They still are in a quandary. They say, well, we don't know. You know, people still do not quite grasp what to do when that bill comes. You certainly don't want to let it sit on the table like a ticking time bomb. I can tell you that.
What about at the end of that first date when it's apparent that one of the people would like to develop a relationship, the other one doesn't have much interest in continuing? How does that person handle it without being cruel? I mean, most people will just simply say, okay, let's get together again, and then never call. But that seems cruel to me.
You know, let's get together again is often used as a filler. Well, call me or I'll call you. So rather than saying, if you know that you don't want to see her again or him again, rather than saying, let's get together again, just say, you know, I had a really nice time. I appreciate you taking me out. That sends a signal. And if they pursue it, if they say, well, would you like to go out again? Just be honest and say, you know, I think you're a great person. I'd be willing to be friends, but I don't want you to think that this could go on any further as far as a date.
That sort of honesty really is at the crux of what good manners is all about. You know, on the one hand, again, it seems like you might be sparing somebody's feelings, but what you're really doing is you're setting them up for later dejection by giving them this big expectation.
On the other hand, if you say to them, you know, this is just, I like you very much, but it's really not the relationship I want, That's cruel?
It can be hurtful. I mean, nobody wants to hear those words. But again, far better that than have somebody think, oh my gosh, this is the person of my dreams, and this is about to be the relationship I've longed for all these years. Why set somebody up for that expectation?
We're going to take a little break now, and when we come back, we'll be taking calls and also reading some of the things that people write in on our show page at WNYC.org. Our phone number here is 646-829-3985. That's 646-829-3985. We have to talk about whether we even discuss sex in this conversation here, and about perhaps when people start talking about if a relationship has to be exclusive or not. And we want to hear what you're thinking about. Again, the number 646-829-3985. We're back with Thomas P. Farley, a manners and lifestyle expert. His website is What Manners Most, and he has written a book called Modern Manners. And we also have Diane Gottsman, who's an etiquette expert and owner of the Protocol School of Texas. And we're talking about dating etiquette on today's Please Explain, and taking your calls at 646-829-3985. That's 646-829-3985. Or you can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And a listener wondered on our show page, why in the United States is dating as entrenched and why in other countries is it more relaxed? The listener says in France, there's no real word for dating.
Interesting. You know, I think it's dating is such a big part of American pop culture. You know, the idea of, and you know, it's certainly so glorified in movies, the idea of courtship and love and, you know, going out on dates and finding the person who just is going to make you gloriously happy, I think does tend to be a very American concept. I think he's right about that.
Let's take a call. Cody from Englewood, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to talk about my view on the effect of technology in the dating world, I guess, for teenagers, maybe in America. I think that an aspect that people, especially older people, don't necessarily realize is that, you know, it really is part of our lives, technology, you know, Facebook, Skype, Twitter, BlackBerry Messenger. And, you know, when you're out, even face-to-face with another person, I think that, you know, you're on your phone, you're seeing on Facebook or on MySpace what other friends are doing, and you're putting effort into reacting to that situation as opposed to putting effort into the situation you're in with the actual individual you're with. And I feel like that's something that our society is doing a lot more of, and I'm not sure it's necessarily a good thing.
Cody, how old are you?
I'm 19. I turned 19 in October.
Well, Cody, you're absolutely right about that. I've seen instances, too, where people are actually tweeting about or Facebook posting about a date that's currently in progress. And you think, gosh, wow, you know, this was, but you know, was I that boring that the person, you know, felt the need to, you know, whip out their iPhone or their BlackBerry and start talking about the date before it was even over? So, I think technology lowers the bar for people reaching out to one another, getting to know one another. And that's great. I think that's to be applauded. And I think certainly for the younger generation, it's something that is the norm. And for that reason, I'd have no issues with it manners-wise. Where it gets tricky is where people do forget the importance of the face-to-face, and you get people, say, breaking up by text message. And I think there's so much context that gets lost in text messaging or in even an email that if they had just taken the time to speak person-to-person, it would not have happened.
So is it an act of cowardice to write an email to someone and say, you know, this is not working out?
I think cowardice is partly to blame, but I think also it's the lingua franca of the younger generation. The idea of picking up a telephone and calling someone it's just a very strange concept. It's all, you know, little quick bursts of messages, and that's the way the younger generation prefers to communicate on all levels.
Diane?
Well, and another dilemma is we often, especially the younger, even the teens, we let our friends use our cell phones. So they are texting and they are sending pictures that are on our phone and they don't even belong to us. So we have to be very careful how we use the social media in general. But I still just think, I mean, call me old-fashioned, I just don't think you should break up with anyone over a text. I just think they deserve more respect than that.
And Cody, do you have anything you want to add before I go on to another call?
No, I completely agree with what everyone said. I think a great example of that is from that George Clooney movie, Up in the Air, with that scene where his colleague got broken up over text messages. A great example of, one, a generation gap between, you know, older people in our country and younger people, and just the points of view on that. So I totally agree.
And nowadays, you can't imagine Neil Sedaka writing Breaking Up is Hard to Do. It's just, he would say, you know, just text. Let's take another call. This is from, is it Ty? Tal? Ty?
Tal.
Tal from Riverdale. Hi, Tal. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. What about you?
So I went out on a date with a fellow a few years ago, and we started out, it was just to get some coffee, and it seemed to be going very well. He said, you know, why don't we go have dinner? I know this really lovely place. And he took me to a really nice restaurant, and we had a great time. We laughed, and we made eye contact, and we told each other stories, and I felt like there was a good balance, and it seemed really nice. And at the end of the date, he drove me to where I had parked my car, and he said, I had a really great time. I'll give you a call. And I said, okay, that was marvelous. I got in my car, I got home, and I shot a quick text over saying, thanks so much, I really enjoyed myself. And he sent me a text back saying, me too, I'll give you a call. And I never heard from him again. So how could I have known that it wasn't as great to him?
You couldn't have known. You know, you can only go by what you see and what you hear and what you feel. And it sounds like you were having a really good conversation and you had good communication and it felt right. So you don't know what happened on his end. You never know. So you can't second guess him, and certainly you can't second guess yourself. So you just have to chalk it up to experience, and because you'll really never know on his side what happened. I don't know that he was playing games. He just, maybe something happened on his end, and I don't mean something happened to him, but
maybe his wife found out that he was out on the date. Who knows? It could be all sorts of things. But I would say good riddance, because the least he could have done is said, you know, something's come up. I'm leaving town.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I didn't pursue it, but I just scratched my head every once in a while. I said, this is the weirdest thing.
Tal, I think you're asking a question that women have been asking themselves for generations. And, you know, getting back to something that Diane said earlier, I think there is this tendency, whether male or female on a date, to end with, I had a great time, I'll call you. And it's kind of this knee-jerk line that people say, even if they don't really mean it. Now, we don't know the circumstances of this particular date, what was going on in the guy's mind. But I think a lot of times that line is used, even if it's not meant entirely, just simply because people don't know how to end a date otherwise.
Let's take another call. Jim from Bayside. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. After my divorce, I used the internet, Match.com, JDate, etc., and I went on more than 100 dates. I want to know what, in your opinion, you think would be the proper thing to do when they don't look like their picture, or they lie about their age or their profession or something like that.
Were you totally honest?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
100%. Recent photos of the works.
Which one of you wants to answer that?
Well, I'll jump in, and Thomas, you jump in whenever you want.
Sure.
I will tell you that if you show up and see your date and she has aged about 20 years from her picture, that's an indicator for you right there that there's more of that to come. You know, because if she wasn't honest about that, she's probably not going to be honest about things going forward. So, you know, have a nice quick time, close the conversation, you know, after a significant period of time, you know, maybe 30 minutes or so, and then just move on. There's no guarantee that people are going to be honest, but you are going to be found out. I think it's really important to be as upfront and honest with people as possible without giving on the date too much information. You know,
but Diane, there's another side, isn't there? Sometimes people, if you give the real age, that could be a turnoff, even though you really are very young. You don't look your age. You sure don't feel your age. But some people have
hard
and fast rules.
I still wouldn't lie. I mean, you can get around it. You can you might just even opt to say nothing, but I wouldn't lie. You know, a lie is still a lie. It's still a deception.
I would agree with Diane there. And I think, too, as far as the photograph goes, I have no issue with you putting up a photo of you looking your best on your best day. But that best day better not have been 20 years ago.
That's right.
Let's take another call. And this is from Gail from the east side of Manhattan. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you? My question is very basic. I've met somebody on a chat line. And I spend part of my time in Florida. He's in Florida. And about to go down there. And what I found in Florida that has me very dismayed is that, you know, it's true that I haven't been much in the dating circle for several years, but they really expect to have sex on the first date. Now, how do I cope with that?
Well, you don't have to cope with it. You always have the option of saying no. So if that is going to be the deal killer, that's really not the person you want to be with anyway. If you're not comfortable, you certainly should not be pressured into doing anything you don't want to do and you're not comfortable doing.
I'm usually not, but what I can do is I say it in advance, and that's like you know, if you expect that, you know, we're going to be intimate on the first date, I prefer not to be.
And what do they say? How do they respond?
Well, my favorite was a guy who started necking with me or trying to neck with me. And I told him, you know, this, you know, when I first meet you, this isn't going to go anywhere. We can keep kissing, but, you know, etc. Like, I didn't exactly put it like that.
Yeah.
And after a while, he said, you know, I have something for you down in my car. Let me go get it. And it was really funny. He never came back.
No, well, thank your lucky stars.
That's right. Good riddance.
That's right.
Well, but I'm really trying to divide. I know I don't have to do anything, but I just feel, on the one hand, overwhelmed and surprised and dismayed. I mean, the price of honesty is no dates, apparently.
I don't really think that every man expects to have sex on the first date. So if that's going to be the deciding factor, well, obviously you really, and for you, some other woman might very well be very happy to have sex with that man on the first date. And different people have different rules, don't they?
I think this is one of the pratfalls, again, of digital dating, is that everything is happening in such a compressed cycle. So whereas before you might have had the opportunity to get to know him and you knew his friends and you were getting together in groups and then finally on dates where your comfort level might have been a little bit different, this is all, you're meeting somebody for the first time who you've never seen, and, you know, all these expectations are being put out on the table. So I think it's definitely, you know, the digital dating dilemmas are myriad. We love the advantage that we have of being able to get introduced to people so quickly, but it means sometimes we wind up fixed up with people we don't necessarily match with.
Remember our number here, it's 646-829-3985. That's 646-829-3985. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. We're talking about the etiquette of dating, or dating etiquette, with Thomas P. Farley and Diane Gotsman. And let's go now to Barry from the East Village. Hi, Barry. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Actually, the last call was kind of similar to mine, but I'll ask it from the male perspective. I find that, you know, compared to an old Cary Grant movie where, you know, the man and the woman are on the date and they're, you know, they're trying to see if there's a connection and, you know, the man is judging the woman's signals. I find now that if you're like that, forget about it. You will quickly be thrown into the friend category because women expect that the guys are going to be aggressive. So it's kind of difficult if you're a guy who really, you know, and you're not even going to want to try to kiss a woman until you know she's really maybe interested. That's just not the norm now. So I just wondered what the...
Wait. How old are the women you're going out with? How old are they?
I guess, you know, maybe in the early 30s.
So are we talking about generational changes here? The woman in her 60s might very well have a very different take on this, don't you think?
Right. I think the younger they are, the more they're just used to a situation now where things are going to happen fast. Just like a movie, there's going to be special effects and car crashes early on in the movie because people have a short attention span. The younger they are, I think, the bigger this is a problem. So I'm saying this actually can hurt some of the guys who are actually more, shall we say, gentlemanly. I think what ends up happening with a lot of these relationships is they have sex really quick, and the next thing you know, the women are like, I don't know, it just happened. But it didn't just happen. It was, really, I think they need to step up a little bit more and say what they want and what they're actually thinking. I think it would help everything because, again, a lot of guys do behave pretty badly.
Diane, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm just sitting here thinking there are so many different, you know, it's all individualized because we can't really generalize all women in their 30s. So, again, I think it has a lot to do with the connection that you make and is the woman sending mixed signals? Are you coming across shy, and is she feeling like she needs to help you along? You know, it's all, I think it's situation to situation. Are you feeling uncomfortable as if they're too aggressive or assertive for you? Barry?
No, I like that. I think that
like
women
it.
Should be more like that. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
good.
I
you're not
like
complaining. That you're just confused.
Yeah. You know, the big question is...
Have to be the aggressor and have to initiate everything, it seems like. And it seems like it's even more... You would think it's less like that, but I find it's actually, in a city like New York, even more like that.
So, Thomas, is that what you find? What do you find?
I would agree there. I think, you know, certainly there are going to be lots of women in New York in their early 30s who would love that Cary Grant character. So if that's who you are and who you want to be, I would not give up hope. But I do think, particularly in urban settings, you get that kind of where you've got a professional woman. She knows what she wants, and she's ready to take charge. And, you know, if you are her prey, she's going to go for it, and she's not going to wait for you to take action.
And it doesn't hurt if you look like Cary Grant and she looks like Grace Kelly.
That's right.
That would be a good mix.
Sheila from Ocean, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I called because I, too, am an older woman, and I didn't hear the previous person who was, but I know two very kind and loving men, and I like them both, and I have been honest with each of them about how I feel, which is not exactly the same degree of lovingness as they. However, I like them a lot. I care about them and enjoy their company a lot. And I continue to see both of them, but I don't see either of them very often because one of them lives out of town and the other one I have drawn some boundaries. So I don't know whether I am wrong to continue to try to have a relationship with these people.
Well, let me jump in because we don't have a lot of time. What would you like the relationship to be like? Are you talking about being friends with these men? Do you want it to be romantic?
Yes.
Would you like sex to be part of it somewhere down the line? Or would you have to be married before you would
have sex? No, I wouldn't
have
to be married. I wouldn't.
You know, it sounds like everybody knows the situation. You've been honest with both of them. They both know about each other, that you see two different men, or they do not know about each
other.
They don't. Ah, well, you know.
And here I am on the radio. God.
That's right. Maybe they won't recognize your voice. You know, it has to be something that's comfortable, and I'm not even going to ask you if you're having sex with both of them. But, you know, there is something to be said about monogamy, and normally, unless they just really don't care, they probably think they're in an individual relationship with you. So there's something that's keeping you from both of them. You have to think about what that is.
And there is a time when you have to decide whether you want to have a monogamous relationship. Often one person starts insisting on it while the other person is still looking around, and that can destroy the relationship. Or the other person has to decide whether they want to continue looking or whether this person who's insisting on monogamy is worth it.
They may think they're in a monogamous relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. You may, but somewhere along the line, people figure out that You know, there's a reason you're not available on Wednesdays.
And this is the thing. I think, you know, nothing wrong with dating a few people, playing the field, but you really do want to be honest. You're only setting yourself and them up for later hurt if you're not honest.
Just one more call. Ken from Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say I love your show, by the way. I've I'm a truck driver, and I'm back and forth to Long Island 6 days a week from Pennsylvania. And I tell you what, WNYC gets me through my day every day.
Oh, thank you so much.
I wanted to tell you that I've heard a lot of these internet horror stories have, you know, on the air today. And my wife and I met in a Yahoo chat room almost 12 years ago. And I was living in I was living in British Columbia with helping my parents out at the time. I traveled to Pennsylvania, 3,300 miles on a Greyhound bus. Never met my wife before. And we've met for the first time at the end of August, and we were married October 2nd. We have three kids, and we've never looked back, and it's been great.
Oh, so that's a great success story.
Yeah, there are
But isn't it just a matter of luck? I mean, it doesn't matter how experienced you are. If you just don't meet the right person at the right time, it doesn't work out. He was lucky, wasn't he?
I think the web.
And she was lucky, too.
Shoot, sounds like she was very lucky. I think the web opens up just so many options for all of us, and that's a great thing. You know, always good to increase your odds. But along with increasing those odds, you're setting yourself up for more things gone wrong. So I think as long as we bear that in mind as we tread into digital dating, knowing that it shows great promise and it removes a lot of the barriers to entry, but that there will also be a lot of disappointments along the way.
Last word from you, Diane.
I would just say don't rely solely on any one avenue. You know, you can be on these sites, but also look at other avenues as well. Get involved in groups and clubs and go to church and see if there's any clubs there as well.
And friends sometimes do know somebody
right.
who's good for you.
That's right.
Thank you both so much for being with us. Diane Gotsman is an etiquette expert and owner of the Protocol School of Texas. And Thomas P. Farley, he has a website called What Manners Most. He also has a book called Modern Manners. And thank you both for being on our show today.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.